I think the difficulty is getting into the space. Once you're in the space, then staying there is much easier than getting there in the first place.
I feel, a lot of people, the counter to that, to chess doing well is, yes, chess is doing well, but it's only doing well for the top 20 players in the world. There's a rumor that you guys might be playing from a tablet.
Yeah, I've heard this too. I don't know if it's true or not.
That's kind of sick, like no increment and playing from a tablet.
I picked third. I picked Gukesh. I think I would have picked Gukesh no matter what.
Maybe it's time to hang them up, especially in classical chess. What do you think of that? And I think this was something that Magnus was also asked. Are you going to miss Hikaru if he quits classical chess? Boom. Welcome everybody to another episode of the C Squared podcast. It's been a while. Fabi, you've been traveling a lot and you've been playing a lot of chess as well, both freestyle chess as well as classical chess. And we've had a bunch of announcements. I feel like it's been one of those weeks in which a lot of things are happening in the chess world and a lot of changes that will probably, be felt for the future are happening. I think there's a saying, nothing happens and then everything happens in a week's time. Now, do you feel the same? And first of all, how are you feeling?
Yeah, well, I'm a little bit tired, just trying to take a bit of a break because it's been a nonstop period. Pretty much from January from Tata Steel. And then the freestyle event, but it's been a pretty nonstop period the first part of the year. So I'm just trying to take a bit of a break because definitely it's a busy time, as you said.
Take it easy, huh?
And yeah, there's a lot going on. All the freestyle events, obviously. That's new. That's pretty much like five tournaments added to the yearly calendar for, well, not for everyone, but some players will play others. Maybe someone will play all five. Probably more than one person will play all five. Actually, is it five or
Five,
is
yeah,
it
including the last
five,
one,
right?
it's five, yes.
So yeah, that's a huge amount of chess added to the calendar. And then the Esports Cup, I assume you're also referring to that, is another
That's a big
big
one.
thing added to the calendar. That's kind of the, maybe not the first time, but one of the rare times that chess is kind of converging with some other games in some ways. And now we're being added to a broader, what they call esports, right? Basically, a bunch of different games. And chess is one of them, which is why all these esports companies are very interested now in chess players because we now have value for them. And which is also very interesting, of course, because yeah, you see that crossover and you see a lot of players getting signed up, which means more events added to the calendar, more money for chess players for sure is definitely a big part of it. And also a lot of chess is becoming more public, clearly, because all the people who maybe were interested in whatever Valorant or were interested in Counter-Strike, now they're being introduced to chess, whether they're interested in it or not.
Huge market. Yeah, it's a huge market. And if we manage to tap into that, then obviously a bunch of crossover and a lot of new fans are going to come into play. Of course, we don't know if those are mainstay fans, but if it has any sort of staying power, and I would assume it does, we'll talk about that.
Yeah,
And
for
we're
sure.
not going to go into the details of the contracts, but it does seem to be very much a long-term thing. Or at least, for the next few years. So
I
it
mean,
could be
like what
interesting.
I can say, what my I was signed up by Team Liquid, which is one of the biggest esports groups.
Oh, yes.
And as well, Magnus is also on the team, so it's the two of us. I don't know if they're planning on getting more players, but as far as I know, for the moment, just the two of us that are playing, and it's all leading up to the Esports World Cup. That's the goal of Team Liquid, so that's also our personal goal will align with the team, right? To get as far as possible in the Champions Chess Tour, and then the Esports World Cup if we make it there. I think Magnus already did make it there.
Yes,
I guess
he
the winner already
qualified.
makes it.
By winning it, you qualify.
I still need to get there, which is not going to be easy for sure. Only one more event to make it. And right now I'm, I guess, tied for like 12th position or something like that, which maybe currently I would make it if it stopped now, but there's still one more event to go. And I mean, I can say that like for me, it was also announced publicly that it's a 3-year partnership that we have. Of course, who knows what happens beyond that, but 3 years is already quite a long-term thing. And so definitely they're in it for the relatively long haul, at least a few years. And in terms of chess in this market, then that I can't speak for. I don't know, if chess will be included in the next one or the one after that, but it's very likely because I think the difficulty is getting into the space. Once you're in the space, then staying there is much easier than getting there in the first place. You kind of have to break that barrier first. So now that chess is included, I wouldn't be surprised that it continues being included. It's a bit unusual, right? Because it's not like other games. It's not really a game that I mean, we do play it on the computer, but traditionally it's not played on a computer. It's a board game. And the only reason that we do play it on the computer is, well, kind of started out as a way to connect with people who are far, far apart. Not because we like the easiest way to play chess is, of course, to get a physical board and play on the physical board. But starting from 2020, things changed, of course, for obvious reasons that year. And then online chess took a major turn for in terms of popularity, right? We suddenly it
Absolutely.
became I don't know if it's equal in terms of amount of chess. I mean, probably not equal, but definitely it's a major part of the chess scene. Maybe it's, 20% of the chess scene now.
I would say
And
it's probably more than that. 20% seems very low.
yeah, it could be.
I guess it depends
It
on
could be
how you
more than
look
that.
at it, right? Because obviously we've had broadcasts before, but since 2020, it feels like now even the broadcast scene has experienced a lot of growth, right? You have all these companies, you have all these streamers, you have all these content creators. Like, it seems the whole ecosystem is more or less moving in one direction, and that is putting things on the internet. Now, in terms of playing it as an esport, I felt like that was just a natural progression, and it kind of dawned to me that is going to happen, and most likely is going to happen fast. Like, I didn't feel it when Hikaru was getting signed during 2020, 2021, when BOTAs were getting signed by organizations, because that was mostly a content creator thing, right? It wasn't necessarily like a chess players thing. Like, there were very few chess players that were making that type of content and could also be competitive at the highest level. BOTAs was mostly, I would say, probably signed as a content creator. But right now it's fully chess players. Obviously, it helps if you're a content creator and you can combine the two, because that's going to bring more value to the companies. But it feels like they're also going for very much chess players based on skill.
Yeah, that's their main goal.
And it's cool. And I think it's exactly as you just pointed out. Once you already got into the door and you already get the first year, I'm sure it's going to be fun, and I'm sure it's going to like keep moving forward. I see absolutely no reason why this would stop, and especially since organizations such as Team Liquid, and all the big ones are Falcons, Hikaru, and whatnot, and I'm sure they're going to have some announcements later in the week as well. But it does seem like with these big organizations stepping in, it's going to be very difficult for these competitions to oust chess after 1 year, right? They're not going to be like, oh yeah, we've had 1 year, and now chess is over for the Esports World Cup. So I do feel
Yeah,
like it's
I'm
just,
this depends probably on how it's received.
it's going to be great. It's going to be
Which yeah,
great.
people watch. Once it's there, people watch. And yeah, the thing with chess is, of course, is it accessible to people who don't know chess very well? Probably not. On the other hand, I think that most people who are watching chess, they don't know so much about it at this point. And I've said this in the past as well. not even like meant as a criticism. You can, of course, I've watched many games that I'm not very good at or don't know much about, and I can enjoy it. But it's just accessible to that group of people because it's not like football or basketball where I kind of understand the basic rules, even if I don't know much about it. I understand that ball goes in the hoop, the ball goes in the net. With chess, it's like, yeah, I understand what checkmate is, but the kind of all the in-between stuff, all the variations are a mystery
There's a big
to
learning
99
curve. Yes.
point. Yeah,
There's a big learning curve.
I mean, even like when I watch something, it's not like I immediately get a grasp of the position. I still, when it comes to like very fast forms of chess, you can't really go too deep in a position in a second or two. So very often I just have the general idea of what's going on, like not, maybe someone's better here and I can see the basic tactics, but I wouldn't say that I understand everything about what's going on. So it's definitely a game where, because of its complexity, it can be a bit inaccessible. That's true.
I think it's about the personalities also. It feels like finally we have the type of personalities that chess needs to grow, as a spectator sport, as a viewer's sport, especially in this type of social media based world. Like we're doing the podcast. Obviously, Hikaru is the big content creator. Magnus obviously has already kind of a platform of his own, and you have the take ecosystem that's being built around him as well. So there's a lot of things that are converging together, right? And now you get people from outside of the chess world with freestyle, and I'm sure we're going to get into that as well. But it just feels it's the right time, right?
Yeah, it's. I mean, I don't know because on the one hand, I think it's a fine time for sure. There's definitely a lot of interesting things to talk about in the chess world. There are a lot of interesting players, a lot of interesting storylines. I don't think that was not existent in the past. I mean, sure, now it's been a bit more, modernized. So you have the internet and you have people like Hikaru
Exactly. Yeah, that's
who
what I
kind of
meant.
mix in both. We had interesting people in the past too. For sure, there's a lot of interesting history in chess, which it's just that, before the internet age, I mean, most of these things will only be kind of researched by people who are very interested in it. People who read chess books, people who are interested in chess history, and now it's just more widely accessible. You just go on. I mean, Magnus went on Joe
Exactly.
Rogan.
Exactly.
A few million people watched that. Probably the majority of them not chess players or not even chess enthusiasts, just people who watch Joe Rogan, which is, obviously that's a
It's
huge
huge.
platform.
It's huge. Yeah, I know.
And yeah, we're just kind of mixing into the non-chess world. It's not the first time for sure that chess has done that, but it's one of the more significant kind of crossovers, I would say. People are, for whatever reason, they're just, I think it's a little bit random in some ways. People get interested in things that other people are interested in. So it's just once you have that push, and it can be small things, it could be like Elon Musk saying chess is a silly game that's too easy. And
Or
then some people get interested.
tweeting about the anal bleeds.
Or it could be the Hans and Magnus thing, and then some people get interested. And then there's a Netflix thing, and then more people, or there's the Queen's Gambit show, and just like adds people here and there. Some of them don't stick with chess for sure, because I might be interested in Baccarat for 2 weeks, and then I lose interest. I mean, it's not like everyone. There's not always 100% retention for sure. And I've also complained sometimes about the people who get interested. Like, I don't think all media is good. I don't think that just because you have more viewership, it's necessarily good. I do kind of like miss when people who, that people, everyone who's watching has a pretty good level of enthusiasm and good understanding of chess. Like, not that they're all titled players, but they care about chess. Now, I think a lot of it is just they're watching randomly. Like, they found Gukesh's world champion 2 weeks ago, and now they decided to watch freestyle chess. I really think this is a major part of the kind of online viewership is just they were introduced to chess recently and now they're watching. You can also tell from the comments very often, right? It's people who
Well,
don't really know what they're watching.
that's true. That's true on some degree, but again, I mean, why would we worry about that? And to be honest, I think that ended a long time ago. Like I remember watching comments on Chess Bomb, and there were all sorts of like crazy comments on Chess Bomb from people that most likely didn't know anything about chess as well. And this goes all the way back to like, I don't know, 2013, 2014, like a decade ago. So I don't feel like necessarily it has changed that much. There's still going to be players and spectators and viewers that don't necessarily care that much about chess, but they like to see the competition. They like to see whatever goes into that, you know, the stories around that. Like, hey, this guy hates this guy. This guy has a great record against this guy, and now they're facing each other, and they're the best players in the world. These type of stories, right? This type of storylines that's why we watch sports in general. So I don't know. I feel chess is in a good position right now to succeed, and I'm glad
No,
to see it.
it's good. I'm not saying it's bad. My position is just my position. It's not objectively true, and probably not most people's position.
Right, and
But
I feel, you know, a lot of people the counter to that, to chess doing well is yes, chess is doing well, but it's only doing well for the top 20 players in the world. Like it doesn't trickle
I think
down
that's true.
to let's say the top 100. Do you feel like that's the case?
Well, yeah, for like when you add freestyle, for example, that's a huge. I mean, I was talking to Hikaru a little bit about this. I don't think we've seen such significant prizes. Basically, like I've played chess now at the top level since like 2012, and you know, at the start it was a few private organizers that would arrange tournaments and then FIDE. So like if I'm going back to 2012, where did the money come from? Where were my tournaments? There was like the Tom Steele tournament. That's a, you know, one tournament organized by some people. It's sponsored by Tata Steel. I don't remember if it was Tata Steel, of course, but sponsored by a steel company. And there was no Grand Chess Tour. In 2012, there was what was called the Grand Slam, but it was a one-off. After I played it, it never got organized again. That was the last time. So a lot of these tournaments would come and go. They would come and they would disappear. There was a tournament in Bucharest. You probably remember this one. It was at some point organized in Bosnia. It was called Chess Kings. I played this one in 2012, and so it was very haphazard. There was no chess. I mean, there was chess.com, but they didn't organize any events. FIDE would do their events, which was sometimes decent money, sometimes not. And then starting from like 20, I would say 14 forward, then or 2015, I think, is when the Grand Chess Tour started. Then we started getting like this major tour of events organized by the St. Louis Chess Club. First they were doing the Sinkfield Cup, and then they branched out to a wider tour, which also included other sponsors and other chess tournaments like Norway Chess. Like there was one in Paris and so on. So London
London.
Classic, which unfortunately the top level London Classic tournament did disappear. But London Classic, I think, still organizes some stuff. And now, but still, the Grand Chess Tour is great money. I haven't seen a tour of events where the top prize is 200,000 ever. I mean,
Yeah,
outside
it's
of
a
the
lot of
FIDE
money.
events
It's
where
huge
you
money.
have like the candidates winner, sure, makes 120. The world championship, of course, is a lot of money. Outside of that, which is just for basically two people play the world championship, right? Every 2 years. So it's very limited. Outside of that, there is nothing like this. The
No,
Grand Chess
I think
Tour,
the Grand
it's
Chess
great
Tour, a
money.
hundred K, right? Which
100,
is
100K, it's absolutely. And then the winner gets another 100K of the overall tour. And then there's the finals sometimes. I think they're going to organize the finals again. And then the American Cup, the US Championship, all very good prize money events. But when I spoke to Hikaru, like we just agreed, you know, we don't have something like this. You can basically sustain yourself if you play all the freestyle events and do do like just okay. Like if Hikaru does his absolute nothing, like not that he's having a great result, but what he's kind of expected to do if he's not super motivated. Like he can definitely he can win some event here and there. But let's say that he doesn't have a spectacular year, and he just plays freestyle and gets like fourth place here, fifth place there. He's gonna make like a few hundred grand
Absolutely.
anyway, and that's kind of unprecedented. So freestyle definitely, but again, it's very few people. I mean, it is kind of democratic in the sense that they have some online qualifiers, sure, but mostly it's going to be like the Paris event. I think Magnus is playing. Hikaru, I'm playing Keimer. This is like top three. Hikaru by rating, Arjun by rating, Gukesh because he's world champion. To either
Ali
Alireza or
Reza, I
Maxime.
think Ali Reza already was asked on the stage
But
during
like
the
they said,
closing
they'll. I was a
ceremony.
bit confused by that, but okay, one of them anyway. They're both top players, and then they'll have a wild card. Maybe it will be both Alireza and Maxime. I don't know, and then an online
Hans.
qualifier.
Well, they have Hans
And
also.
Hans, sorry, of course. And Hans because he won the Grenke Open tournament last year. And now they have some partnership with Grenke, so it's all top players if you look at it. Is someone who's top 100 getting into the tournament, like someone rated 26-20?
Well, for example, Sindarov,
But he's
he
27, he's like 27-10, he's still a
right
top
now he's
player.
27. But I mean, for the longest part of 2024, he was around 2680, 2690. Those type of players, even at 2710, they don't necessarily get into the Grand Chess Tours and these type of big events. So
Sure. And
yes,
he got
and he
60
did
grand for
well.
his
He did
performance.
well.
Good
Exactly.
performance.
Exactly.
Almost got 140 because he should have beaten me.
Well, should have, would
I mean, at some point in the
have.
match, it was fully in his hands. Like he
Of
was a
course,
move away from getting second place guaranteed, maybe first place, right? So,
No, I mean, he played an amazing event. An amazing event.
yeah, no, I mean, it's very good money. And there are going to be players who are not, by the ratings, top players who have some very good results, and but still, it's going to be mostly top players making more money. The esports stuff. Now, I don't know because I don't know what people are getting from esports. I only know what I got, which also I don't think I'm really open to sharing.
You shouldn't. You shouldn't.
No,
No.
I don't think I can either.
Also, you shouldn't. Yes, obviously.
But I don't know what other people are being offered or what they're accepting, and I can maybe make some educated guess, maybe. A lot of players have already gotten teams besides the top players who obviously there was definitely, they were jumping on the chance, right? Players like Arjun, players like Magnus, Hikaru, even Ding. Alireza, I
The
think
Chinese
also.
players, yeah, Wei got signed as well. Ding got signed.
But also like Bortnik,
Bortnik
who
got signed. Yes.
is a bit outside the top. He got a team. Wesley, I think, is on the same team as Bortnik. Although Wesley is a top player, so I don't know like what they're offering people who are, because from the point of view of an esports team, if they're asking like a 2600 player with the hope that they're going to make top 12, it's a bit of a long shot. It's not super likely that you ask a. Even if the guy is super good at this format, like Bortnik, I'm sure is very good at this format, and he's like maybe he's a 2640 player. I'm not sure exactly.
No. Well, I don't know in Blitz, but in regular chess, I think he's perhaps even below 2600.
Yeah, but okay, I mean, like, what are his chances of getting top 12? I don't know exactly, but. From an esports company, they're definitely taking. If you ask Magnus, you kind of know, okay, he's going to make top 12, right? If you ask Hikaru, yeah, almost very, very likely. At this point, it's basically guaranteed. Now, if you ask someone who is around 2600 to 2650, they might make it, they might not. It's more of a risk. So, how much money are you willing to put on that gamble? Then, that's a question as well. Although everyone's a bit of a gamble, right? It's not a guarantee that I make it. The only people that we can be pretty sure will make it at this point are, well, Magnus for sure.
I would say the top
Hikaru,
four. I think it
yeah,
was kind of
Hikaru's
agreed
definitely
the
making
top
it.
four.
And
Nepo.
Jan,
Nepo, I think, made it as well.
And Ali Reza. I don't know if Ali Reza is get definitely Ali Reza is not guaranteed, but he
No.
has a very good chance.
No, I think he still has to qualify from the play-in to the playoffs. But yes, obviously, it's a big one, and it seems to trickle down a little bit right now. But again, the question is, does it have to trickle down? Like, I feel like a lot of other jobs are being created, not necessarily in playing chess, but rather in doing content around chess. I feel a lot of the opportunities right now are in that sphere rather than playing. Playing, we know, and I do think it's normal that the top 20 players are the ones that are reaping most of the benefits. I understand it's we all want the top 100, top 300 to get paid and be able to make a living, but it's not like that in any other sport. So especially not in a sport that doesn't have a huge reach, like basketball, for example, or like one of the top sports. Even in tennis, I don't think the top 300 make such a great living. I don't even know about top
I think we
100.
kind of discussed this on one previous
We did, we
episode,
did, we did.
and
It was
then,
mostly in the Wimbledon and the top
I forget what people
events.
were saying. Like the Wimbledon qualifiers last place was 25 grand. I
If you
think.
make it to the qualifiers, you're already good. Yeah. You're already good. It's
I
also a
mean,
much more
Wimbledon's probably
expensive
just a.
sport to train, right?
Yeah, that's true because you need a bit more, like in chess. If you have a laptop. And you don't really you rent some engine off a cloud, which is pretty. Maybe you spend $1,000 a year, then you're basically good in terms of analysis. Then the only question is how much do you want to work and how much do you want to outsource to someone else.
Yeah.
But in tennis, I would assume not only do you need a coach, but you also need maybe a physical therapist, maybe a nutritionist, and this and that,
Yeah.
because it's just so much more demanding in a more concrete way than chess, right? That's. Let me see. So Wimbledon,
I want to see you traveling with a nutritionist, with a chef, with a masseuse. You should speak with Team Liquid. You should be like at the World Sports, at the World Cup, like the Esports World Cup. If you qualify, obviously it's not guaranteed. Still a long way to go.
yeah, I really do
But if
hope
you
to, but.
qualify, you should ask them, hey, give me a masseuse on the stage. That would be fun.
Well, I don't know how the format will be. Will they keep the 10-minute no increment? Will we
Yeah,
play on
yeah.
laptop? Will we play on physical board? Will
No
it be something
increment.
else entirely?
It should be no increment. I mean, I
I would
don't.
assume that it stays the same with no increment, but I think that it's not really decided fully for the EWC. I don't think they've made any like clear plan for how everything will be. So it might be a bit surprising. I've heard some things which I won't really repeat in terms of like I don't know if they're rumors or not, so I don't want to say something and then it doesn't end up happening.
Well, I'm going to say it
But
because I've read it in Hikaru's chat. At some point, I was doing commentary for on his channel, and I did hear that there's a rumor that you guys might be playing from a tablet.
yeah, I've heard this too. I don't know if it's true or not.
That's kind of sick. Like no increment and playing from a tablet.
Yeah, I would probably prefer not to do this. I don't really know what the plus side is. I can think of some minuses. Maybe it wouldn't change things dramatically, but I can think of some minuses and I can't really think of any plus. I mean, the minuses would be purely from a practical point of view. Like,
I
if we're in a
mean,
time
you
scramble,
touched the wrong square. You're
yeah,
busted.
maybe you're more likely to mouse slip. Like, we shouldn't open it up to more randomness. We should try to keep in more chests. And less, how fast you can touch things. Which, anyways, with a mouse, it's anyway a thing. And I think over the board probably wouldn't work with no increment because p if pieces do fall, then you end up with this kind of ungodly mess. Nobody enjoys watching. An arbiter is now trying to figure out what to do. Pieces have fallen on the ground, someone paused the clock, and one player has 2 seconds, and one player has five. And, obviously, this is like the no increment lends itself much better to online chess for sure. But tablet, I'm not sure. Touch screen, yeah, I'm not so sure how I feel about this idea. And anyway, that's not really my decision, you know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, now let's go back a little bit because I feel we brushed off too easily freestyle chess and what happened in Weizen House. Obviously, that was talk of the town for that particular week, and there were some scandals as well. I'm not sure if we're gonna get into it, but let's start with the chess. Now, obviously, two huge surprises, Kaimer and Sindarov. They could have made it to the finals. But you did quite well also, and I would say obviously in during the first couple of days, you did great. You qualified out of the top three. That was kind of the idea, so that you get to pick your opponent. How did you feel about your play in
Yeah,
Weizen
Rapid was
House?
overall good. I mean, definitely first day was good in Rapid. Second day was, I mean, again, the bar for qualifying after the first day was at, like, even if I lose all my games, I probably make it. But yeah, I didn't play great in the second day, but it was like minus one and I was already plus four. So, not ideal, but nothing too bad. Although if I'd lost to Kaimer in the last, then I wouldn't have, because then I think maybe Magnus would have surpassed, or no, maybe, yeah, maybe Magnus would have surpassed me in score, and then I would get picked by someone rather than doing the picking. So, in terms of, yeah, that was fine. You know, the thing about the Rapid is the main goal there is just don't get eliminated. Like the last two
Right.
places got eliminated, and that's a very bad feeling.
Right.
So everyone is more or less just saying, okay, get to the top eight. Of course, it's ideal to pick your opponent, but as we saw, it doesn't matter so much. I mean, you know, Alirezov picked first. He picked Kaimer, and Kaimer won the whole thing. I picked third. I picked Gukesh. I think I would have picked Gukesh no matter what. I wanted to play Gukesh.
He seems to be struggling, right? In freestyle. I don't know. It's a strange
Look.
feeling. Like obviously he's such a strong classical player. He's been showing it time and time. But in freestyle chess, it just doesn't seem like the patterns are clicking.
I don't know. I mean, I think, okay, part of it was a bit bad luck that the first game, you know, against me, it was a bit of a random affair, and I just took it at the last second, you know, basically. That had nothing to do with it being freestyle. It's just the game was out of control. You know, maybe the time control is not very suitable for him. I think he does benefit from having a second time control, so that once, like, the I mean, he does tend to do quite well in this time scramble phase if there's a second time control. But if it's an eternal time scramble phase, then it's actually an issue for him. But it's a bit odd, but I have observed this, that time scramble phase, he's actually getting a lot of points there in classical chess events. But if there's no second time control, then at some point he messes it up. Why this is, I don't know. And this one had no second time control. So now, you know, is freestyle the best format for him? I would probably say no. Like, if you asked me, do I want to play him in a classical match, just normal chess from the normal starting position, or freestyle, which do I have better chances? I would say, yeah, freestyle, I almost certainly have better chances. Part of this will be because probably his work ethic is quite enormous at the moment, as you would expect from a young guy who
Yep,
also is a world champion
very
and
motivated.
has prepared for a very singular goal, in a very focused manner for the last 2 years. So this will help him in terms of his confidence in the openings. And also, he generally seems to get good positions in the opening because he's well prepared. Now, if you take out that factor as an advantage, of course, he's still a top player, but does he have that edge anymore over some other guys? Well, it does take a little bit away, right? It's incremental stuff. But every little bit counts. So definitely taking out the preparation, that's one of his advantages at the moment. And still, he could have won that match. He just had to win the first game. It's not like he was winning or anything, but he had good winning chances at some point in that game. Then he would be a favorite in the match. Then he plays Sindarov, and, you know, again, it's a whole other story, maybe. Who knows? The issue with this tournament is that you are playing top players no matter where you look. You're either playing, who did he play after he lost to me? He played Hikaru.
Yes,
And after he lost to Hikaru, he played
Ali
Alireza. So
Reza.
no
No
matter
easy
where you look, you're
pickings.
playing top players,
No easy
Sindar
pickings.
lost to me and he's playing Magnus.
Yes.
It's just an unforgiving format. So
That's good, by the
on
way.
the other
That's a good
hand,
thing.
since he did do poorly in Rapid and did lose all his matches in Classical, and didn't win any games, it's hard for me to sugarcoat it very much, just objectively. Obviously, he didn't have a good event. But just to say that, you can have a bad event and still be a top player. It's one of those just very difficult tournaments. So you're not in perfect shape, and you have something like that where you play me, you lose, then you play Hikaru, who I think objectively was playing well there. I mean, he had a bad match against Sindarov, and then all this stuff was made about, he's saying he's retiring, but he did beat Noderbeck. He did beat Gukesh. No, sorry, he didn't beat Noderbeck. Wait, who did he beat? No, he
He
did beat
did beat
Noderbeck in.
Norderbeck. Yeah. He did. He beat
And
Gukesh first.
yeah,
Then he
and then
beat
Noderbeck.
Norderbeck. Yes.
And he did well in the Rapid. And to me, it just seemed like he had a good event. Just he lost the first match, which was the most critical one, right? It's better to win the first match, lose the second, than lose the first match and win two more. That's just how it works. For better or worse, right? But he still, I mean, Hikaru, like for when I was thinking, who will I pick from the players? And of course, I'm trying to maximize my chances, and the pool of possible players was Keimer, Noderbeck, Gukesh, and Hikaru. This was the pool. So I was the third to pick. But anyway, I was thinking like, what happens? Because I wasn't sure. I thought maybe Sindar would pick someone. Like I knew Sindar was not picking out Noderbeck for sure.
For sure, yeah.
Like just wouldn't that
I
be
actually thought
crazy?
he would be picking Gukesh.
That he would pick Gukesh. Well, yeah,
That's what I
that's the thing.
thought.
Like a
I
lot of
mean,
these young guys, they think, okay, the older guys, they're old and washed up, and so on and so forth. Which maybe is a fair assessment. But from my point of view, if I was saying who would I pick, and maybe now it would be a bit different because okay, Keimer did beat everyone, so maybe I have to reevaluate.
But
But
Kaimur
I would
was
pick
picked by Ali
Gukesh.
Reza first. So
Yeah. And he's the lowest FIDE rated,
that
probably
was a
Alireza
normal pick. In
made
hindsight,
a normal
obviously,
pick, yeah.
it's a sick pick, but at the moment it's the most normal pick. Like everybody was like, okay, Kaimur is going to get picked first.
That seemed very logical because he's the lowest rated. On the other hand, it did turn out that this was not the right pick, but hindsight is always much easier. I would have picked Gukesh no matter what. And that would have been my pick for sure. After that, I probably would have picked Vincent. And after that, I would have picked Noderbeck. And last, I would have picked Hikaru. Now, why is my pick like that? So, Gukesh, I also just wanted to play him. I think it is kind of special to play the world champion. I thought this is not a pick I can ever regret. I'm going to play Gukesh. I will not regret picking him no matter what. I can lose against any of these players. I can beat any of these players, but if I beat the world champion, that feels very nice. If I lose, anyway, it's not going to feel good to lose against any player. So that was my reasoning there. Vincent, of course, although he did win the event, we have to say he actually played perfectly. I mean, like
Insane,
probably the
absolutely insane.
probably the most high level chess in any like classical tournament in years. I mean, just like super super well. He beat Magnus having one bad position. He beat Alireza, again never tie breaks, having one bad position. Like for Magnus, it was one move. He was worse for one move. I think he was maybe losing for one move. For Alireza, he was significantly worse, close to losing for a little while. Against me, he was never worse. It was like never worse. He didn't have any worse position. He just kind of beat me in the first game, and in the second game, he up until he was totally safe. I think like Peter came up to me after the game, and he was like, "Yeah, what can you do?" It's just it
He
was
played really well.
99.5% accuracy
He
for
played
the
really
first
well.
for the first 20 moves.
It was one of those tournaments where you just sort of everything goes your way and you kind of feel you're in flow mode, right? Like you feel the position. And I have to say, I was watching him on his confessions also, and he seemed to very well point out the problems of the position and very well understand the plans in each position, because this is the first task that you guys get whenever you see starting from move one. And he was very, very good, based on his confessions and obviously based on his games, at spotting the ideas, the main ideas of the position, and spotting the weaknesses in his opponent's position. So I think
he just like came to the truth of the position very quickly in almost any position. In that sense, of course, Keimer looks like a poor choice, but he was the lowest rated, so it didn't make sense. On Noderbeck, I actually did think about it. Like, would I rather play Noderbeck or Hikaru? Noderbeck is a very hot player, for sure, recently. You know, he's playing very well. He's like 2780.
Super hot.
I don't know. Something like that. I wouldn't say that he... Okay, 2773. I wouldn't say that Hikaru has been clearly better than Noderbeck in classical chess in the last few years, or last, let's say, you know, 2 years. I wouldn't say that. So it's not... The reason why I would pick Noderbeck is because it does feel like he tends towards, you know, giving you more chances because he plays a little bit, you could call it practically, but sometimes it does err on the side of superficiality, like a little bit bluffy in some ways. And Hikaru definitely plays just like what he views as correct chess. Just like, you know, he's not trying to bluff the opponent. Maybe that used to be Hikaru's style, but I wouldn't say that anymore. He doesn't try to bluff. He doesn't try to bullshit. He just tries to play whatever he thinks are the best moves. And the same as for example, Gukesh or Magnus, right? There are players who are a bit more, I'll put pressure, I'll play fast. Maybe I'll make some mistakes. I'm also sometimes like that. But I'd rather play fast and make mistakes and put pressure than try to play perfect chess. It's a matter of style. On the other hand, I felt that in Weisenhaus, it wasn't working well for him. Like he was playing a little bit too fast. He didn't have that kind of... Sometimes you can see this with Jan as well. You know, he's that type of player, right? He can kind of maybe play a bit bluffy, but when it works, it's very effective. It's very scary. When it doesn't work, then that's kind of the opponent that you're happy to play against, because like serious mistakes can creep in, and then it doesn't matter how much pressure he's putting on you. Like I've sometimes played Jan or Noderbeck, and I feel very much under pressure, enormous pressure. But once they make a game-ending mistake, it doesn't really matter anymore. So that was my assessment of him during that tournament. Hikaru, I just thought, you know, it's a fair matchup. It's kind of a 50-50 against him, and it's going to be very tough. He'll never make it easy. Even the match he wants to get lost against Sindarov, like definitely I can beat him. He can beat me, but it's one of those matches where no matter what happens, I know I'll have to be kind of on the entire match, right, to beat him. And that's sort of what happened with Sindarov. Like he was outplaying Sindarov in almost every game, but in these kind of critical moments, Hikaru was relaxing a bit, kind of visibly, you know, physically relaxing a bit. And Sindarov was never relaxing. So Sindarov actually tricked him or came out ahead in these like time scrambles so many times. It was remarkable from so many bad positions he defended. And Hikaru, I think, probably underestimated him a bit. I had an advantage because once I saw the match against Hikaru, I was like, okay, now I know what kind of player I'm playing against. Like this guy, I can basically never relax. Right, I can beat him, but I can never relax. And I think Hikaru did relax at some critical moments, and that cost him a match.
I mean, even in the last game, in the Armageddon, right? He was completely winning, had an extra piece, and I feel like once he got that extra piece and got into the end game, he was like, okay, this is a technical task. It seems to be fairly easy.
That wasn't
easy.
Armageddon. But it was a must-win for Hikaru, but it
Correct.
Wasn't an Armageddon.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it was a must-win. He was winning. And you can see that he did. You were probably doing commentary?
I was, yeah.
You could have seen from his video I was watching too that
he relaxed
at some
yes,
point.
Yes.
Because he thought the game's over. And from an objective point of view, sure, it was winning. But once I saw him relax, I had this feeling like maybe something's going to go wrong now. I also said this to Miguel, who I was there with. I said, okay, he was like, okay, game's over, whatever, whatever. And I, but you know, he's not really, he doesn't seem fully concentrated. So I'm not sure that the game is actually over. And then it got a bit messy. I was like, I was really watching very intently. I was thinking about the position too. It got a bit messy, and I started to feel like maybe this game, and you need to win. It's not like a, draw. Sometimes if you can relax maybe a bit, and it doesn't cost you so much because you messed up a win and you drew the game, but match goes on. This was a pivotal moment in the match. A win, and it goes to Armageddon. Actually, no, it goes to Blitz, I think. They were still playing Rapid. But this is not the time to relax. I understand though, it can happen. Sometimes you don't feel like you can't control it, just your body relaxes. It's just a normal stress response. Like I've been in stress for the last 4 hours and or 5 hours or 6 hours, whatever it was. And your body no longer wants to deal with that. So it just kind of let's go for a second. Just a second, but a second is all it takes
Exactly.
for the game to turn.
No, and that led to obviously Hikaru's frustration. It was sort of a pileup of missed opportunities, but that led to him saying that maybe it's time to hang them up, especially in classical chess. What do you think of that? And I think this was something that Magnus was also asked. Are you going to miss Hikaru if he quits classical chess?
Well, first of all, Hikaru, even if he quits classical chess, obviously he's not going to quit chess as a whole. So to say he'll miss him when he's going to be anyway involved probably in a lot of Rapid and Blitz and all these online tournaments and his own other chess endeavors, clearly he's going to be in the chess world for a very long time. And I think retirement is a personal thing. It doesn't have to be connected to his strength because obviously, he knows, and everyone knows that he is an absolute top player. And if he decides to, be a top player for the next 5 years, then he will probably stay amongst the top. If he keeps up motivation and so on, the strength is there. I mean, I've also known Hikaru in one way or another since we were kids. He's a few years older, but I played him in like probably either late 90s or early 2000s when I was a kid and he was a slightly older kid. And so of course it's strange to imagine a chess world where Hikaru is not actively playing. But this is a personal thing. If you're in your 30s, as we all are, and he's in his mid-30s, and you want to do other things besides chess, then that's just your own choice, right? And as you can imagine, as anyone who's played chess professionally can imagine, it's enormously time-consuming. So to balance playing 1 month straight event like the candidates and having a normal family life where perhaps you have even kids or whatever, is pretty challenging because you kind of have to neglect either one or the other a little bit. Like it's you can't balance. You can balance them both for like let's say he's playing freestyle, right? He can balance them both, but if you're playing the candidates or world championship match, you can't balance them both. It's just impossible. It's too much of a time commitment. So you have to make some concessions
Sacrifices,
or
yeah,
yeah,
sacrifices, big
say yeah, you could
sacrifices.
call
And
it
at some point,
sacrifice,
those
yeah.
sacrifices are starting to become a bit too much of a burden, especially
But
as you
that's a
just
personal
mentioned,
thing.
if you have a
I
family.
won't comment on that. Like in terms of his choice, I mean that's everyone will choose, right? Their own thing. But also I think people can say things very emotionally. Like you lose a match and you just get very emotional. So although he has maintained that he'll reconsider his career after Norway Chess, maybe he mentioned some other tournament, but I do remember him mentioning Norway Chess.
The American Cup and Norway Chess, yes.
Yeah, I
Norway
mean,
Chess being the last
again,
classical event.
it's his choice, but one event doesn't make or break a career, so I wouldn't urge him to stake everything on one event. I've had disastrous events. Once you see it through the lens of many years, then you realize one event basically didn't decide anything, unless it's a world championship match. That obviously can decide a lot. But one random Norway chess or Tata Steel. In my case, I had a very bad Tata Steel, and he might feel like he had a bad Waisenhaus. But again, as I mentioned, from my point of view, he played pretty well there. I mean, he lost one very close match, and then he beat two top players, including the world champion. Now, he was obviously tilted. I do remember when he was playing Rook Knight 2 versus Rook Knight 2 for about 12 minutes straight, which was kind of silly. And obviously, he was tilted. But what, for whatever his view of the tournament is, it actually was not a bad tournament. He did have overall a pretty reasonable result in hindsight. Same for me. I mean, I had overall a reasonable result, even though it wasn't perfect, and it's disappointing to lose a final. But I'm trying not to, like, I'm trying to take things in perspective a bit because,
There's too many
you have a lot
tournaments,
of
right? I
disappointments.
mean,
What's that?
there's too many tournaments. Like, you're going to win some, you're going to not make it, let's say, to the finals in some. In this one, you made it to the finals, obviously. But I do want to ask you about this particular moment, the match against Sindarov, because it was for the first time, and I was again watching it and doing commentary live. I've seen you relieved for the first time, once that match was over. Like, I saw you sort of take a pause, lean into your chair, and just stay there for a few good seconds. I felt it was like one of those moments where you felt you came back from the dead. Was that the case?
Well, I definitely did. And also, you have to consider that we were playing a classical game before we played a rapid tiebreak.
It
And
was
then
a
after a
long
rapid
day.
tiebreak, we played a blitz tiebreak.
Yeah.
So I think part of it was just that was basically like my 7th hour of playing. And a lot is riding on this one game. It's the difference between potentially winning the event and potentially getting third, fourth. That's a very big difference
Could be
in terms of many things.
$140,000, yes, in
Yeah, we
terms
could
of
also
money.
consider it in terms of the prize money, but also in terms of the overall tour. It's definitely a big thing, and it's all riding on this 1 3-minute game. And in this 3-minute game, I'm playing with the black pieces, and yeah, it was a very intense moment. So. This was just like my natural reaction. I was very concentrated going into that second blitz game. It wasn't a good game, but I was very focused, which, again, I'm not going to say that's the reason I won because I could have lost the game. I wouldn't be talking about it right now, in the same way. But yeah, I was very focused going into it. I had a clear goal. I really wanted to come back. I knew it was possible. Of course, it doesn't always happen. It's a bit random. You have to win one game on demand. You're playing with black. You're playing against a guy who's playing quite well and also doesn't want to lose under any circumstances. So basically, I understand if I win this game, it's probably going to be in some random time scramble. The chances are not very high. But yeah, I did really get a sense of relief because I also thought, before that game, my chances of winning this match are extremely low. And after that game, I think I am a favorite again.
The Armageddon went very
So,
smoothly. Like, there was
yeah,
absolutely no
relatively. I
problem
mean,
in the Armageddon.
yeah, I really think that my feeling is starting to be that Black has a pretty good advantage in Armageddon overall. Just like seeing things recently, I really think that overall the draws are a huge advantage. More so than the time advantage, we see people bidding lower and lower, and I felt like, especially in maybe in freestyle, it's even easier in blitz. Like maybe in classical, it's harder, but the opening kind of tends to matter so, not so much in blitz, and in classical, the opening tends to matter enormously, just because you can't really have any mistakes. So, to be honest, I'm not sure that Fischer Random is really suited for classical. But that's what we're doing at least this year. I do think that like the thing is there's a bit of randomness. You can get a bad position from the very first move. You can make a mistake on move one and it kind of alters the game entirely, or you can't just can't come back from it. Or sometimes you're in a must-win situation and then the starting position is just bland and dry. And there's, I think in Rapid and Blitz, you all that goes out the window because it tends to get a little bit like it tends to get turned into a fight no matter what. But in classical, sometimes like the starting position just matters too much. And so I'm not sure. I'm still deciding on like what I feel might be the best time control for Fischer Random. But I also think I have to go.
Yeah, no,
I'm gonna
and
play.
just to sum it up for what it's worth, I do think that classical freestyle is fun, at least from a spectator's and viewer's perspective. I had a lot of fun. I'm happy to see that this tour is being put together, and I think it's going to be a good addition. Obviously, the top players might be feeling, tired, but I'm sure it's tired, and you're playing a lot of tournaments for a good reason. And with a good incentive behind it. So no, it's a lot of fun. It's a good addition. And as you mentioned, you have to go, so we'll leave it at that. I'm sure we could have covered a lot more, but Title Tuesday, I think, is starting. Anyway,
You want to tell Tuesday?
I have to go too. But
Okay.
yes, Fabi, I'll see you in just a few days in St. Louis. We're going to be talking about that as well. Champion Showdown, American Cup. Plenty, plenty coming up. We'll keep in touch and cheers. Good luck in Title Tuesday.
Thank you.
Bye, bye, bye.